Will you pray with me? Oh Lord God, gracious Heavenly Father, you have sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to be stronger than anything that may overwhelm us, stronger than anything that may scare us. Thank you, Jesus, for defeating sin, for conquering the power of the devil, for defeating death, that we might live in you. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, that as we encounter you, Jesus, we may change our lives and live for you. We pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. How many of you have ever had a mountaintop experience? Ever kind of had a time in your life where you just felt just everything seems to be going right, all right? Or maybe it was actually a mountaintop experience. You climbed all day and you got to the top of a mountain and you were able to look over just God's beautiful nature and creation. Or maybe it was an athletic event where you shot the winning basket or you caught the catch that nobody thought you could make and just everybody was high-fiving you and that was just something you'll remember for the rest of your life. Maybe it had something to do with work, something that you poured yourself into. You took your time and your energy. Maybe you started your own business, and you're finally at the point where you know that you're going to be all right. Or maybe it was that day that you met that person who you figured out, well, I kind of like them, and they kind of like you, and you make a life out of it. A beautiful thing. Or maybe it was that moment where your child was born. Or some other mountaintop experience where it just felt that everything lined up. And in that moment of clarity, you think, all right, this is the way life is supposed to be. That's fun when that happens. For us today, we encounter Jesus and disciples who go up on a mountain, and they have a mountaintop experience. We're told that 6 days Jesus took with him Peter and James and John. It's interesting the comparisons between Moses and the people of Israel and their experience up on the mountain with Jesus and his disciples. God appeared to Moses and was with them back in the Old Testament. And now Jesus, after 6 days, is going up on this mountainside where the disciples encounter God. They didn't know it was going to happen, but they went for a hike. And the next thing that they knew, Jesus was transfigured before them. The Greek word for this transfigured is metamorphosis. It means to change, like a caterpillar changes, metamorphosis into a butterfly. Jesus was transfigured, transformed before them. His face was shining like the sun. And his clothes were dazzling white. I can just imagine, if you will, I could picture the disciples kind of trying to block their eyes. If you ever look at the sun or something bright, it's hard to look into it. But they couldn't keep their eyes off of Jesus because they wanted to see what was happening, trying to block the light, but they couldn't look away. Jesus was transformed before them. But not only that, Moses and Elijah appeared speaking to them. Of all the Old Testament figures, Moses represents the law that God gave to the people of Israel. Elijah was the greatest of the prophets, and here they were meeting with Jesus, who is placed above all. Wouldn't you have liked to have been there in that moment, hearing what Jesus and Elijah and Moses were talking about? The disciples just, they couldn't get enough of this. And so Peter said, hey, Jesus, it's good to be here. Let's build some tents, some tabernacles. This kind of way of thinking, once a year, the Jewish people would take a whole week and they would build tents out of plants or buildings out of plants. And they would live in them to remember those 40 years that the Israelites wandered through the desert, and they would build these tents and remember how God delivered them out of the bondage of slavery, and they would remember how God provided for them throughout those 40 years. And so Peter is saying, Jesus, I really like this. Let's be here for a whole week, all right? Let's build these tents. Let's talk. Let's eat. Let's chat. Let's hang out. But while Peter was still speaking, a bright cloud overshadowed them. This cloud was maybe like the cloud that overshadowed Moses and the people on the top of the mountain in the Old Testament. And from this voice, before Peter could say anything else, this voice spoke to Jesus. This is my beloved Son. With him, I am well pleased. I don't know about you, but I love hearing words of affirmation. Words saying, you've done a good job. Words saying that I'm proud of you. Or that you are greatly loved. You can imagine that Jesus, as he heard these words, affirmed who he was and what he was doing. These words, I think, were for Jesus to, again, encourage him. They're very similar to the words that Jesus heard when he was baptized. The Father spoke from heaven. You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased. That was the beginning of Jesus' ministry on earth. At this point, Jesus is being prepared for his next form of ministry. We're going to talk about more of that in just a second. But God said one more thing. God said to the disciples, listen to him. Listen to Jesus. Said to Peter, James, and John. Said to you and I gathered here today, listen to Jesus. It's his voice that's important as we listen to him. But when the disciples heard this voice, they were overwhelmed by everything that they were experiencing. And so they were frightened. They fell on their faces, and they were terrified. Has that ever happened to you? You have this mountaintop experience where everything lines up, where you're able just to praise God, and you're so thankful for everything that's happened. And then it seems like shortly thereafter, you're lying with on the floor, your face down, and you're terrified, uncertain of what's going to happen next. Maybe it's you know, your job is going well, and the very next moment, you get that call from your boss saying, thank you, you're doing a good job, but we no longer need your services. Or maybe it's you're on that athletic field, and the next game, you get it injured. You can't compete again for the rest of the season. Maybe it's that marriage that you go to that conference and you have this great moment together, but then you get back into your everyday life of marriage that's tough, and you say, ugh, this is hard work. I think there's times in our lives where we have those highs, but what happens when we have those lows, when we experience times of fear, of trouble, of tribulation? God uses those moments to reveal himself to us in a deeper way. God uses those challenging times to say, lean on me, trust me, I'm here with you, don't be afraid. God uses those moments where we have nowhere else to turn, where God says, turn to me. For the disciples, Jesus came. He touched them and said, rise and have no fear. Maybe some of you have come to worship today and you're not sure what the future holds for you. There is uncertainty. Maybe there's some intrepidation about what is to come. Jesus says to you today, rise and have no fear. I'm with you. But then Jesus says, and you and I, look at me. Don't look at the troubles of this world. Look and see me. I'm with you. Don't be afraid. But then Jesus and the disciples, they leave that mountaintop experience and they go into this world. This moment was preparing, I think, Jesus and the disciples for two different things. Jesus was prepared to leave the mount, to go back into the valley, to go back into the ministry, and he had a job to do. These words of encouragement from his Father would nourish him as he went back into this world, and he began a journey towards Jerusalem, Because when he would reach Jerusalem, he would suffer and he would die on the cross. Jesus would need that strength as he was betrayed by one of his own disciples, as he suffered. And on the cross, he bore the punishment that we all deserve for our disobedience, for our anger, for our selfishness. But on the cross, Jesus has paid for our sins. But Jesus also rose from the dead. On the third day, the tomb was empty. Jesus came to life and appeared to the disciples, even while they were afraid. Again, he said, I'm with you. Don't be afraid. In fact, that's what Jesus' message is the very last verse of Matthew. He says, and let's read this verse together. Let's read, "And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." These are the words of Jesus to his disciples, to you and to me. I am with you. I am with you always. Don't be afraid. I think God continues to reveal himself to us through his Son, Jesus Christ, so that we may be filled with faith, so that we may not be afraid. And so why? Why the transfiguration? What's the whole point behind this? I think, number one, God reveals himself. God reveals that when you see Jesus, you are seeing God. Okay? When you encounter Jesus, who are you encountering? God. When you read Jesus in the Bible, who are you reading about? God. And so when you encounter Jesus, you are encountering God. For the disciples, maybe this was revealed to them in a deeper level. But also, God reveals himself to us to draw us into a deeper love relationship to himself. That the disciples on this mountain, they had a different relationship with Jesus when they went down, right? They saw Jesus differently. And so when we encounter Jesus, when God reveals himself to us differently, he's drawing us into a deeper relationship with himself. But not only that, but he's doing that to increase our faith, to lead us into action, to love God with all our heart, soul, strength, our mind in a deeper way, and to love our neighbor, to love our spouse, to love our kids, to love our co-workers, to love our grandkids, to love our neighbor in a deeper way. God reveals himself to us so that we may put our faith into action, trusting him. What about today? That happened way back then. How does God reveal himself today? God primarily speaks and reveals himself to us through the Holy Spirit. I think in four ways, as you look through Scripture and you look at the Christian experience, God reveals himself even today primarily through what? Through the Bible, through his Word. That when we read the words of Jesus, you know, the red words in the Bible, whose words are we reading? God's words. And God's words change us. God's word has the power to transform us, to strengthen us for the life that we're living. God also speaks. We encounter God through prayer. That as we pray to God, it's not so much about changing God, but allowing prayer to change us. To allow God in our heart and our life to say, let me tell you what I'm doing. Let me give you the strength that you may endure and be patient with what's going on in your life. I think God also uses the circumstances of our life to reveal himself to us in a deeper way. Sometimes through good things we can really praise God, but sometimes it's through those challenges, it's through those trials that God calls us to trust him. When we're afraid and can't do anything of our own, God says, I've got you. And when we get through those experiences, our faith grows as we trust in him more and more. And finally, God reveals himself through the church, through coming together as God's people, through his word and through his sacraments, through our fellowship as believers. God is present, strengthening us and encouraging us. Now be honest, as you came to church today, you say, I'm going to church to encounter God. Were you thinking like that this morning? I wonder what God is going to reveal to me this morning. Were you there? Maybe? I hope so, all right? And I hope that when you go away, you can be able to say, well, God has revealed something to me about himself. God has revealed something about my life that he wants me to change. And maybe God is revealing something that I can follow him in a deeper way. And I want to leave you with this. One final challenge. In this 2017, this is the 500th anniversary of the nailing of the 95 Theses to the church door in Wittenberg. Martin Luther wrote the Bible from Latin to German so it can get in the hands of God's people. And I want to challenge you guys, if you haven't picked one up, on the back table there are copies of Reading God's Story. It's a chronological Bible, means that it's a story from beginning to end, not any jumping around. But it's a one-year Bible that from March 1st, 2017 to February 28th, 2018, we can read God's story together. And the reading plan starts Wednesday, March 1st. I really want to encourage you to pick one up and be in God's Word. Because when you read God's Word, who are you going to encounter? God. He's going to be there. And one of the things I'm challenging myself, and I want to challenge you to, that as you read God's Word, know and go with the expectation that you're going to encounter God. So I've done this before. It's been a little while, but I'm going to read my Bible with a notebook right next to me. That as I read God's Word, I'm going to say, all right, God, what are you trying to teach me? And that as I come across a scripture passage that means something or God is revealing himself, I'm going to try to write that down in a notebook. And throughout the day, whether I memorize it, just meditate about it, think about that verse, and praying these two questions. God, what are you revealing to me, and how can I live out the scripture in my life? And I want to challenge you, maybe to do something similar. Don't just read through the Bible to say, check, I've done my good Christian duty, all right, I've done it because Pastor wants me to, but read God's Word, that it may be an encounter with God. Say, God, reveal yourself to me. Just as Jesus revealed himself to the disciples through your word, reveal yourself to me that I may grow in a closer relationship with you and that my faith may be strengthened, that I may live out my faith every day. Amen? Amen. Together, may we continue to have encounters with God, changing us and changing this world. Amen.